نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبص منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who from his abundant mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has permitted converging here once more inshallah today to continue the reading and explanation of the book Usul Sunnah of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah, Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, that he has written, that he has dictated to his student, who has written and gotten the Ummah to have to know about it. We had read the first 16 points from these treatise that we use. The first 16 points have been read, and we'll see that after the Imam discussed the issues related to Qadar, the issues related to Quran, he came in and he mentioned issues related to the day of Qiyamah. And from that is the fact that we shall see Allah, the Muslims, inshallah, may Allah make us all adherents of Al-Jannah, that inside Al-Jannah we shall see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it has to do with seeing Allah, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah with the eyes on his head, whether in this dunya or when he traveled into the heavens on Al-Mi'raj. But what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he saw Allah in his dream, but he didn't see him subhanahu wa ta'ala with the eyes on his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter we discussed the issues related to, again, the day of Qiyamah. Here the Imam mentioned al-mizan, the balance, or the way upon which the deeds of men shall be put, or upon which men themselves shall be put. I hope we remember those discussions. And the fact that someone will come, a very fat, huge man will appear on the day of Qiyamah, and he will be put on the scale, but he will weigh less than the feather of a mosquito. May Allah save us from that. So here, inshallah, we'll be discussing other matters that has to do with the day of Qiyamah. So the Imam said, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَالتَّصْدِيقُ بِهِ. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah said that part of what we must believe as Muslims, such that when we do not believe it, if it is just what the Muslim leaves out regarding what he should believe, but he believes everything except it, yet his iman is not complete. He does not have right belief. He cannot be considered as someone who has rightly believed.
He cannot be considered as someone who has rightly believed. From those matters is the fact that he must believe that أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ, that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ, he will speak to the servants, he will speak to the slaves, he will speak to the people. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah. And he's speaking with them. He said, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ, no interpreter, no mediator will be in between him and the servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall speak to all of us on the day of Qiyamah in a manner that no one will be in between we and him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will speak to each of us. He will speak to each of us, and each of us will hear him speak to us. And each of us will hear him speak to us regarding ourselves. Allah will speak to each of his creatures regarding himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah. So this makes us understand the greatness of Allah. And yet, Yawmul Qiyamah is just one day. Today on earth, we are said to be about 6 billion. Even when that's this estimation, I'm sure is far, you know, surpassed now. I don't think mankind is less than 7 to 8 billion now on earth. And there had been generations before we came, thousands of years before us. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a single day will speak to every servant, including, wa alaykum as-salam, including those who spent a day on earth, including those who spent 50 years on earth, including those who spent 150 years on earth. No matter how long someone spent, Allah will speak with him regarding his affairs on the day of Qiyamah. One-on-one, he will hear Allah, or Allah will hear him. So the Muslim has to believe this. It is part of believing in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of believing in the Quran. Because the Quran commands us to believe in all what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us. So when we believe that, we believe the Quran. It is part of believing the messengers of Allah, because the one who told us about this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is part of believing in the day of Qiyamah, because it is part of what we are told regarding the day of Qiyamah. It is part of believing in Qadar, because that is part of what Allah has designed for himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has known that will occur. So he gave the knowledge of its occurrence to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in turn gave us the information regarding it. So to believe this is very, very important. It forms sections or parts of every form of belief we'll have regarding the six, you know, articles or pillars of Iman. It has to do with each of them. It has to do with Rububiyya of Allah. It has to do with Iman bil Yawm al Akhir. It has to do with Iman bil Rusul. It has to be Iman bil Kutub. And all these, each of it, that Allah will speak to each of us on the day of Qiyamah, has to do with each of these branches of Iman. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, that part of what we'll believe is that وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the servants, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ, and there is no one will have to interpret between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the slave. It is necessary that we mention two things, but we'll just mention them together. He said, Al-Ibad. Does it necessarily mean his pious servants? No, it doesn't. Because he said, Al-Ibad, slaves, servants. And all the servants of Allah, all the creatures of Allah, all human beings, and so are the jinns, they are included in this. Because we are the ones who have quwwatul ikhtiyar. We are the ones that have been given responsibilities. We have choices to obey or disobey Allah. So we are the one he will speak with. So the ibad are all those who are under, who are legally responsible. They can be held responsible for what they did. So they shall be asked regarding what they did. Allah shall speak with them on the day of Qiyamah. And because within these creatures that we have mentioned, within human beings, for example, there are also different kinds of people. There are the Muslimun, there are the Kuffar, and there are the Munafiqun. So the way, the form that Allah will speak to each of these groups of people will also differ, because they were also different when they were on the earth. Allah will speak to the believers differently. The way He will speak, the form He will speak with them is different from the form He will speak with the Kuffar. The form He will speak with the Kuffar is better than the form He will speak with the Munafiqun. Because the Munafiqun are worse than the Kuffar. And that's why when He describes them, He says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So they are going to be in the deepest parts of the fire. Because the situations of the Munafiqun, their own conditions are worse. Ulama say for two reasons. The first reason is that they deny Allah. They are kuffar. Because nifaq is ibtanul kufr wa izharul iman. Is that someone in him is an unbeliever, but he shows iman. He behaves as if he is a person of faith. So his kufr is there with him. So that is in equality with the kuffar. But the second thing that makes him worse than the kuffar is he's deceiving the Muslims. And the kuffar have not deceived the Muslims that they are Muslims. So he's deceiving the Muslims itself is a sin that additionally that makes him worse than the kafir. So their situation and the way they will be spoken to will be worse than the way the kuffar will be spoken to. So there are these three sets of people. So two things we're addressing together. The first, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall address three sets of people, the believers, the hypocrites, and the kuffar, non-believers. And the fact that al-ibad here refers to all the creation, every human being shall be spoken to on the day of Qiyamah. What are the evidences for this? So put these things together and we read the evidences and try to explain them. The first hadith we'll look at is the hadith of the eminent companion radiallahu anhu. One of the companions who lived long, Adi ibn Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim was initially a Christian, but he later converted to Islam. He was a very honorable person, and his father was from about the richest people amongst the Arabs at the time. The ulama say the father of Adi ibn Hatim, if you say to him, please give me a cow, he will not give it to you, because to him, to ask for a cow is an insult, an embarrassment to him. If you want to ask for a gift, ask from 10, 15, 20 cows. So it's like saying, don't ask me to give you a V-boot, so to speak. If you want someone to give you a gift, ask from 10, 15 V-boots. Ask from 10, 15 halas. So this is how rich he was. He was a very benevolent person, the father of Adi ibn Hatim. So he also was generous. And Allah made him live very long. He was very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each time the Prophet spoke with him, you would see the honor the Prophet employed while talking to him. Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu. And he was very instrumental to his people not becoming kuffar after the Prophet died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his tribe was one of those tribes that wanted to go out of Islam. It was for him. And he's talking to them, and Allah's tawfiq in the first place that granted the victory. And his people did not commit the ridda like other surrounding communities around Medina. So Adi ibn Hatim reported this hadith, a very lengthy hadith. But we'll just bring the part that has to do with this discussion on speaking with Allah on the day of Qiyamah privately. He said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُ رَبَّهُ وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. He said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. There is none of you. There is no one amongst you. This makes us understand that Al-Ibad, that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal mentioned, is not only talking about believers. مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. مِنْكُمْ you human beings. مِنْ أَحَدٍ. No one amongst you human beings. Or amongst the jinns, because they also were given that they are also to follow the Sharia like we human beings. So he said, "Ma minkum min ahadin illa sayukallimu rabbahu wa laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman." There is no one amongst you except that he will speak with his Lord in this riwayah. In another love, the ulamas reported that he said, Sayukallimuhu Rabbuhu, except that his Lord will speak with him. And in another riwayah, he says, Sayukallimuhu Allah, Allah will speak with him. So it is that Allah will speak with him and he will speak with Allah. It is on both sides. Allah will speak with him, he will hear Allah, he will speak and Allah will hear. We will see some of the details, inshallah. So there is no one except that this thing will happen to him. He said, ثُمَّ يَنْزُرُ مِنْ أَيْمَنِ مِنْهُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with him, يَنْزُرُ مِنْ أَيْمَنِ مِنْهُ. He will look to his right, this person that Allah speaks with. He will look to his right. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. He will not see other than what he has put forward from his own deeds. So when he looks to his right, he will see his deeds. ثُمَّ يَنْزُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ. Also, he will look to his right, this person that Allah speaks with. He will look to his right and he will not see other than what he has put forward from his deed. He says, ثُمَّ يَنْزُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Then he will look before him. This فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ. He will not see anything in his front except the fire. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَاتَّقُ النَّارَ. So be careful about the fire. Fear the fire. Run away from the fire. Take shield from the fire. Put up acts that will make you be prevented from having to get into the fire. وَلَوْ بِشِكِّ تَمَرِينَ. Even if it's with شِكِّ تَمْرَةٍ, half of a date seed, a date, we know the fruit. Even if it is half of that, فَاتَّقُ النَّارَ. That is, give that out in charity so that it becomes one of those things that he had presented that you see on your right and to your left. And no one will see to look at his front except that he's looking at the fire. So the reality of the questions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how he has presented it. You see your deeds and you are looking at the fire. So when he says, what did you do? How did you do? Why did you do this? Inshallah, we'll mention that as it will be in the case of the munafiqun and the kuffar. May Allah save us from that. So that hadith also has another level where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ حَاجِبٌ وَلَا تَرْجُمَانٌ. That is, there is no hajib, there is no sitter, no covering in between the servants and Allah. There is no covering in between the servants and Allah. And there is no interpreter in between the servant and Allah. He will be spoken to, he will hear and then respond. This will happen to each of us. May Allah make the situation easy for us. Amen. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Abu Abdurrahman, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. There is no one amongst you except that his Lord shall speak with him. For your cool, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, ma garraka bi, what is it that denied you from having to serve me? What beguiled you? What deceived you? What put you away from my service? Why were you not able to serve me? Ma garraka bi, what was it that prevented you from being my servant? Maza amilta fima alimta. What did you do? How did you put into action what you knew? How much of action did you put? Fima alimta, regarding what you have known. You knew so many things, but how many of it did you put into practice? So he shall be asked on the day of Qiyamah. Maza ajabta al-mursaleen. What did you respond to the invitation of the Prophet? The invitation of the messengers of Allah. How did you dispose to it? Did you accept it in totality? Or you accepted what you wanted and you dropped what you wanted? Allah will be asking the servant all this and he will be required to present responses to them. Maza ajabta al-mursaleen. What was your response to the prophets that came to you? We sent so many to you. Rusulan mubashirin wa munzirin. They gave you glad tidings of al-jannah and they warned you regarding the hellfire. Famaza ajabtahum. So what was your response to them? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported the hadith. Al-Imam ibn Khuzaymah in his book Kitab al-Tawheed, has reported the hadith. The fourth hadith we mentioned is a hadith that was reported by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and Al-Imam Muslim, and others aside those mentioned. The third hadith we look at is the hadith of Safwan ibn Mihriz. Safwan ibn Mihriz is one of the very eminent people amongst the Tabi'un. He was one of the students of Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and those in the Aqidah amongst the companions. He was a very learned person amongst the companions. So he said, Rahimahullah, he said, Kuntu akhizan biyadi ibn Umar. One day I was holding the hands of Abdullah ibn Umar, one of his teachers. I was holding his hands. Fa'atahu rajulun faqala. So a man came to him and said, كيف سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول في النجوى? What did you hear the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم saying regarding النجوى? So that discussion between we and Allah, or between Allah and us on the day of Qiyamah, is referred to as what? النجوى. That is a secret council. Because for each individual, for individuals, each of us, it is going to be secret between we and Allah. So it is referred to as a najwa, or a secret conversation, a private discussion between any two. He said, what did you hear about from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi najwa regarding this secret consultation? Faqala, he said, Samitu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Inna Allah azza wa jalla, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some riwayah it was said, Yudna al-mu'minu min rabbihi. That he said, Yudna al-mu'minu min rabbihi. The mu'min, the believer, do not forget, we said we put it all together. That we said we are going to first of all present the evidences, yes, that the matter includes every person. And we'd have seen that from parts of the first sets of narrations that we mentioned. But also we mentioned that we are also going to mention the proofs that each person, based on how his belief is, if he was a Muslim, if he was a kafir, or a hypocrite, it will also be different, the manner of the questioning and response. So this is going to be a hadith that will tell us about how that najwa will be for the Muslim on the day of Qiyamah. So for the Muslim, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, it's reported by other companions too. Not less than five or six companions have reported regarding this najwa, radiallahu anhum. So the Muslim will be brought close to his Lord on the day of Qiyamah. Hatta yada'a alayhi kanafahu. He will be brought so close that his kanaf, his rahmah will cover him. His sitr will cover him. He will be covered from the rest of the people, the mu'min. The mu'min will be brought so close to Allah that he will be covered. The sitr, the hijab will cover that person away from the rest of the people. So it will be the person and his Lord. That's why it becomes a najwa, a secret discussion between the person and his Lord, the mu'min. May Allah make us die as mu'minun. He said this will happen to him. Summa yakul. Then Allah will say to him, Iyi abdi, O my servant, ta'rif zamba kaza wa kaza. Do you remember such and such sin? Do you recall that you did so and so? You looked at so and so woman that was not legal for you. You did so and so. His sins will be counted to him. For your cool now. He will acknowledge them and say, yes, I did them. Rabbi. Yes, my Lord. It was like that. Hatta iza qarrarahu bizunubihi. So much that each of those sins will be repeated to him. And he will be made to acknowledge them. He will say, yes, I did them. Yes, I did them. Yes, I did them. Such that when he is made to acknowledge those sins, وَرَأَى فِي نَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ هَلَكَ, and such that he begins to think in his mind that perhaps he's doomed on this day. The Muslim, the mu'min. Between himself and his Lord, his sins are raised unto him and he acknowledges that, yes, I have done them. And when it appears to him that, subhanallah, am I going to survive today? Qala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فَأَنِّي قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. surely I had covered these things away from people while you were on the earth. وَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ And today, I have forgiven you all those things. When you were on the earth, I did not make the people know. Some of the ulama had drawn from this that whenever a Muslim commits a sin that the people did not know about, he should not tell the people. Some of the people take pride in doing that. They committed some sins at certain periods that nobody knew about. They come about and start to tell the people about them. They did this, they did this, they did this, they did this, they did that. They were not even ashamed of themselves to mention themselves in regards with regards to those incongruences. So Allah said subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will say, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will say, قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا Don't worry, I covered you away. I prevented the people from seeing you while you were on the earth. وَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ And today I have forgiven you those things. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى كِتَابُ حَسَنَاتِهِ Thereafter, his book, his record of his good deeds will be presented to him. This is the believers. This is what will happen to him. May Allah count us amongst them. May Allah count us among those who will be forgiven on the day of Qiyamah. If we read the ulama talking about this, it is difficult. You see them not mentioning this dua, that may Allah count us amongst them. Al-Imam Ibn Abi'iz al-Hanafi in his Sharh of Aqidat al-Tahawiyah, when he was discussing this, about every paragraph he was praying that Allah count us amongst them. Because it is hisab and yasira, easy, something easy. You did this, yes I did it. You did this, yes I did it. You did this, yes I did it. Okay, I forgive you. At the time the slave is thinking that he's finished. So you see how joy, how pleasurable it is. May Allah count us amongst them. وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ But for the disbelievers and the hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ أَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الظَّالِمِينَ It will be said to them that فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ The witnesses before that in some other riwayat, And in a very lengthy hadith that we'll read in thereafter after this, it will be the witnesses will be brought against them. Perhaps we should just interpret this and go. فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ The witnesses who were witnesses that yes, they were kuffar and the munafiqun. There are so many witnesses. We are also the witnesses. We are shuhada ala nas. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا And the Prophet is the witness over us. So we are going to witness against people. So, this witnessing shall be done on the day of Qiyamah against the Munafiqun and the Kuffar. فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادِ The angels were also witnesses. Those who record the deeds. And all other angels that Allah had created. And other things that Allah has created as witnesses. Including all parts of our bodies. He says, وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ وَهُمْ يُزْعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبُصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us understand that part of the witnesses are also the body parts. Those eyes with which the people watch the TV and watch things that are not right that they watch, they will make evidences against them. Someone can say, yes, we watch the TV. The woman reading the news, is it legal for you to look at her? And things like that. The reason why we mention things like this is that they are issues that people hardly think that it is illegal for them to do. People hardly think that these things are illegitimate. So the eyes will say, it was with me that he watched it. The hands will say, it was with me that he drove the car to the place of sin. So they are the witnesses. The hands will also be, and the body parts will also be witnesses against kuffar and munafiqun. May Allah preserve us. So فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادِ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ So the witnesses will say, those are those who lied against their Lord. They disbelieved in their Lord. So it will be announced that أَلَّا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الظَّالِمِينَ Let it be known. Let everyone be known. Let it be known to everyone that the woe of Allah be upon evildoers. So they said, وَفِي لَوْضٍ In another wording of this hadith, it was said that, وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارِ As for the kuffar, فَيُنَادَى عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ. It will be announced عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ while all the witnesses were around. أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ. Where are those who lied against their Lord? Theirs is not going to be one-to-one alone with a covering, covered from people. It will be announced عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ. While everybody is looking and hearing at them, look at these people, they were the disbelievers. So it will be asked, where are those الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ, who disbelieved, belied their Lord? And when they appear, it will be said, أَلَّا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. May the whole of Allah be upon all the wrongdoers. This is a part of a verse from Surah Al-Hud. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أُولَٰئِكَ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. These people shall be brought in front. They shall be presented to their Lord. These are they. These are the sinners on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah save us from this. In the hadith of Abu Huraira, it explains this matter in some details. He said, يَلْقَ الْعَبْدَ فَيَكُولُ يَا فُلَانِ. So the slave will be presented before Allah. And Allah will say to him, يَا فُلَانِ, oh so and so, أَلَمْ أُكْرِمْكَ, did I not honor you? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. So Allah honored Bani Adam. So Allah will ask him regarding that honor on the day of Qiyamah. أَلَمْ أُكْرِمْكَ, did I not honor you? أَلَمْ أُزَوِّجْكَ, did I not get you married? So it means everyone who gets married by the permission of Allah. أَلَمْ أُزَوِّجْكَ. It will be said to him, أَلَمْ أُسَخِّرُ لَكَ الْخَيْلَ وَالْإِبِلَ. Did I not make al-khayl, horses, and ibil, the camels? Did I not make them easy for you to ride? Look at how we ride the horses. If mankind wants to describe power, strength, and energy, with what do we symbolize it? Horse. With horses. We symbolize with horse and horses. And that's why when they speak about scholars and eminent people, they say fuhul. And fuhul is something that has to do with horses. But we refer to those people as horses. We refer to power and energy as forces, as horses. We symbolize them with horses. They say horsepower. And yet Allah made them easy for us. We ride upon them. We control them. Look at the camels too. Some of them sometimes are higher than we are. One of the first times I saw a camel, I think in Guso, I saw a little boy, I don't think the boy is more than 3 years old. And he was holding a camel and the camel was following him everywhere he went. I'm sure the camel, and I think the camel should be taller than his father. But look at the little boy just go around the camel and the camel is going around with him, wherever he takes the camel. And the camel can kill the human beings. If a camel hits someone with its feet, the person can be a death blow. Or with the lower jaw. These are very strong parts of the camel. Or it can even open its tongue and injure the guy, the little boy, or any human being with its teeth. Because they appear, those the set of the teeth of the camel, they appear as all canines because they are looking very sharp and pointed. And yet Allah made them subservient to us. We do whatever we wanted with them. So this ni'mah, Allah will ask about it. Did I not do that to you, Hasbani Adam? Because this is part of favors that every person enjoys, whether the person is a Muslim or not. So Allah will ask about it. Allah will say also, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ أَتْرُكُكَ تَرَأْسُ وَتَرْبَعُ. Did I not leave you to be a leader amongst people? وَتَرْبَعُ. تَرْبَعُ is a word that has to do with leadership. Someone is leading. And he collects a fourth, robot, of their farm produce and some of the taxes people collect. So when someone is a leader, he has the right to collect that. So Allah will say, did I not make you a leader? Someone who collects those taxes from people. You collect those kind of things from people. I made you a leader and you were collecting. They were obeying you. When you say, pay your money, they pay the money. Did I not give you that? Allah will ask that for your cool. He will say, Bala. Yes, you did, Allah. For your cool. أَفَظَنَنْتَ أَنَّكَ Mulaqiya. Did you ever think that you are going to meet me? Did you ever imagine that you are going to meet me on this day? Fayaqulullah. He was going to say that no, he didn't. He was not thinking that he was going to meet Allah. And that's what Allah was asking us in the Quran. وَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمَ يَجَالُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. How is it possible that mankind fear Allah rightly if they had already disbelieved on or regarding the day that a little child shall grow gray hairs? If you disagree in that day, then how is it possible that you believe in Allah? These are some of the ulama. They say, after imanu billah, the most important iman is al-imanu biyawm al-akhir. After imanu billah, in fact, some of them say that al-iman biyawm al-akhir is a part of rububiyyah of Allah. Once someone disbelieves in that, it means he's not believing that Allah has the power to raise mankind, and then that he has power to raise mankind is part of his rububiyyah. So we always say, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So today is a very important one. May Allah count us among the successful. So he was not thinking that he was going to account for his deeds. فَيَقُولُ. Because he had said that Allah will say to him, إِنِّي أَنْسَاكَ كَمَا نَسِيتَنِي. You are also going to be abandoned and forgotten, like you forgot about us. You forgot about us, today we shall forget you. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ يَلْقَ الثَّانِي. The second one also will be presented, and his case will be like the case of the first one. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ يَلْقَ الثَّالِثِ. And the third person will be presented, and the questions and those favors will also be presented. Did I not favor you? Did I not allow camels and horses and all these? Did I not put you in control? Allah will ask him all this. For your cool. Look at the munafiq. Rabbi, amantu bika. My Lord, I believed in you, munafiq. He said, I believe in you. Wa bikitabika. I also believed in your book. Wa salaitu. I performed salah. Wa tasaddaqtu. I was giving charity. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُثْنِي بِخَيْرٍ مَسْتَطَاعَ. He is going to be mentioning good things about himself as much as he's able to. They were donating masjid, I give them 1 billion. They were doing that, I did that. They were reading Quran, I was the best. He will be mentioning good things about himself. Munafiq. قَالَ. It will be said, for your cool. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for your cool. Allah will say to him, أَلَّا أَبْوَاسُ شَاهِدًا يَشْهَدُ عَلَيْكِ. Should I raise, or should I not raise, someone or witness that will witness against you? You say you do that. You did all those. Should I raise someone or witness who will witness against you? Who will make you understand and say to you that really you did not do those things you claimed? So empty claims they were. فَيُنْكِرُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he's going to imagine in his mind. He is going to reject that in his mind. Man الذي يشهد عليه. Who? Me? Who will witness against me? Because he thinks that it is all over, because he thought that he was hiding his kufr. But he didn't know that Allah is the one who knows the sir and jahar. يعلم سره وجهره. Allah knew his secrets and he knew what he pronounced. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would be denying that in his mind. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَخْتُمُ عَلَىٰ فَيْهِ. And his mouth will be stilled. وَيَقُولُ لِفَخْذِهِ. It will be said to his lips, انْتِقِ. Speak. فَتَنْتِقْ فَخْذُهُ. And his lips will speak. وَعِظَمُهُ وَلَحْمُهُ. His bones and his flesh will speak. بِمَا كَانَ يَفْعَلُ. They are going to speak regarding what he used to do. Those things he thought that he was hiding, and he was wondering who will witness against him. So the witness against him will be his laughs, his bones, his nerves, his eyes, his nostrils. The mouth with which he thought he could argue would have been sealed on the day of Qiyamah. It's been heard people say it on the day of Qiyamah. Don't worry, we'll argue ourselves out. Your mouth will be sealed. He says, Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. On the day of Qiyamah, those things they did, they gathered for themselves and earned for themselves. Their hands and all those parts Allah mentioned will testify against them. May Allah save us from this evil. They said, فَذَلِكَ الْمُنَافِقِ. This is the case of the munafiq. So you see the case of the kafir. Some straightforward quote. But the case of the munafiq, he tries to argue with Allah. Now, I believe in you now. We are the ones doing it together. We are the ones doing the iman. We are the ones. Say, okay, should I raise a witness against you? Witness against me? Say, yes, witness against you. Say, raise it, let's see. Allah will raise it. From himself, the witness. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. They are going to wonder on the day of Qiyamah. Why are you witnessing against us? قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ نَعَمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتُرُونَ أَنْ يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ وَلَا بُصَارُكُمْ وَلَا جُلُودُكُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ فَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ. Look at. They were thinking Allah did not know. Allah says, فَظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Those thinking you are thinking about Allah that he did not know, أَرْدَاكُمْ, destroyed you. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So they become among the losers. فَإِنْ يَصْبِرُوا If you are patient, it is hellfire. If you say, no, I don't want to be patient. Who are you to say, no, you will not be patient? If you are patient, it is hellfire. If you say you will not be patient, what choice have you not to be patient? May Allah save us from this. And that's why each person must be careful about nifaq, hypocrisy. People must be careful about it. Every person must be careful about being a hypocrite. And from what confirms the hypocrisy of anyone, not the signs of hypocrisy, what confirms the hypocrisy of anyone is takzibur rasul, belying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, it is authentic, say it's a lie. People say it today. The Muslims have now bravery that is never known. Its kind is not known in history. Muslims. Some of them will say, no, they don't believe in that kind of thing. So takzibur rasul is part of what confirms the hypocrisy of the one who does it. Belying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Takzibu baba ma ja'a bihi rasul. Belying part of what the Prophet came with sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet came with something to say, no, it's a lie. So there is something in the deen, say, no, I don't accept that as part of the deen. If that is Islam, then that is something, it cannot be Islam. And it is established from the Sunnah of the Prophet. And the similar thing is reported of the mushrikun in the Quran. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So to hate what Allah establishes in his Sharia is part of hypocrisy, hating it. And we know the sections of the Sharia that the various kinds of Muslims hate. Muslims have sections in the deen they hate. Muslims now have sections of the deen they will say, no, we don't like this part. We've been in a program, a brother was discussing polygyny, marriage to more than a wife. I have told you whole about 1.5 program, a sister stood up and said, contribution. What I want to consider, she's a medical doctor. May Allah guide her and us, right? She said what she wants to say here today is she's okay with everything that's said except the fact that they are saying that it is illegal. It is legal that a man gets married to more than a wife. You people should know that we don't like this thing, quote and unquote. You people should know. You people are the men. Should know that we don't like this thing. So she said that. She doesn't like it. I hope and pray she likes it now. Because it is dangerous not to like any part of the Sharia. And yet you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. How is the Shahada? And yet you say you're a Muslim. When they ask you, what is the meaning of Islam? Islam or Muslim, the one who submits to us. How can you submit and you are dictating what you like and what you do not like? Ayna taslim. Where is the submission? For each person, that is the case of that person. Like in each person knows where the shoe itches. بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة. Each of us, every person knows what he likes from the Sharia and what he doesn't like. Those who do not have any reservations regarding anything in the Sharia, they are successful. May Allah count us among them. But when people still feel they can have reservations regarding the deen, then they have trouble. They should be putting question signs at their iman. Perhaps they will not be like this man who will say he believed in the Quran, he believed, and yet the parts of his body will testify that his acclaimed belief was no other than a fast. May Allah save us from that. Part of what also confirms the nifaq of the one who engages in it is bughd ar-rasul, to hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people hate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is possible that they claim that they are Muslims, but they do not like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They do not like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet they claim that they are Muslims. Part of it also is al-karahiyyatu li-intisari deen al-Islam, to hate to assist Islam, to detest assisting the deen of Islam. When someone detests, does not like to assist Islam, it confirms his hypocrisy. And from it also is to be happy when something negative happens to Islam and Muslims. He's happy. If something negative happens to Islam and Muslims, he's happy. Yes, that's what should happen to them, those group of people. They are like this, they are like that. That is what should happen to them. So each person should be careful. These things confirm the hypocrisy of anyone. All those other actions, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ, and all these, they are symbols, they are signs that manifest, because in all these set of people, you will find those things in their complete forms. But the one who only lies, he lies sometimes and is not a munafiq. He's just sinning. If he seeks for repentance, Allah will forgive him. And from the attributes of munafiqun is that they don't repent. They don't seek repentance. وَإِذَا كِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوَّوْا رُؤُوسَهُمْ وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They are also arrogant. One of the scholars compiled the symbols, attitudes of hypocrites. 50. He mentioned 50. The ulama said there are more than that. But he went into the Quran and Sunnah and mentioned 50 of it. Attitudes of hypocrites. Based on the Quran and Sunnah. So from it is that they don't like to repent. So it differentiates someone who lied once or twice or as a personal defect and the one whose work is lying. That's also a grievous sin, but it has not confirmed his hypocrisy. Hypocrisy becomes confirmed in i'tiqad, in akida, when all these five or six things mentioned, when it becomes i'tiqadiyya. If it is not i'tiqadiyya, it is nifaqul asgar, minor hypocrisy. But when it is nifaqul akbar, then it has affected the thoughts of such persons. May Allah save us from that. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, he said, from what we must believe is that وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ. Are we looking at it? وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُكَلِّمُ الْعِبَادِ, and that surely Allah will speak with the servants. We know from the evidence now where it comes from. The ahadith are established in Bukhari and Muslim that Allah will speak to all the creatures يوم القيامة, on the day of Qiyamah. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. There is not going to be an intermediary, an interpreter between them and him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ. We have to believe them. وَالْتَصْدِيقُ بِهِ. And accept them as truth. We have to believe in these things. We have to accept that they are true. We shall speak with Allah on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah count us amongst those who will be successful on this day. The next matter is the issue of Al-Hawd. We have just 1 minute left. What do we do? The next matter is the issue of Al-Hawd. He said, rahimahullah, that وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْحَوْضِ. Naam. He said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْحَوْضِ. We must also believe in the Hawd. Hawd is referred to as a pool. The pool. وَأَنَّ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has حَوْضًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That he has a pool on the day of Qiyamah. So when she said al-hawd, this alif wa lam is lil ma'hud, lil ahd, something that is known. It's not just any pool. It's a pool that we know. And what pool is that, or which pool is that? The pool of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a pool. He has it. It exists now. He says sallallahu alaihi wasallam that mimbari ala hawdi. My mimbar is upon my hawd. My mimbar is upon my hawd. Inshallah, we'll read some of the points that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has mentioned. He discussed the matter well properly. Inshallah. So he said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْحَوْضِ وَأَنَّ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَوْضًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We must also believe that the Prophet has a pool that we will see on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. تَرِدُ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّتُهُ. His ummah will go to this pool. عَرْضُهُ مِثْلُ طُولِهِ. Its width is like its length. What does that suggest? Its width is like its length. So it suggests a square code. He said, its tool is masirat al-shahar, is the distance of a month's journey. The Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shall mention the ahadith, inshallah. He says, aniyatuhu, its cups or drinking vessels, ka'adadi nujumi samai. Their number is like those of Nujumus Sama, the stars in the heavens. How many are they? How many stars do we have? Not the planets. The stars. How many stars have we? In the Milky Way alone, in our own nebula, referred to as a Milky Way, how many stars do we have? And the sun is just one of them. So how many of the suns, how many suns do we have? So the number is like that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only he knows their number. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, rahimahullah, ala ma sahat bihi al-akbaru, based on authentic narrations, min ghairi wajhin. And these narrations have come from more than one root, more than one chain of narrations. Ulama of hadith, when they say wajhu, what they mean is one isnad. Do we understand? So when he says, rahimahullah, that min ghairi wajhin, they have come from several roots. We should talk about it when we explain it, inshallah. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his Sharh of Aqidat al-Wasitiyah, he has mentioned 9 items regarding this topic. And they are very, very useful in understanding the details as much as time will permit, inshallah, regarding the hawd, the pool of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing he mentioned, he said, هَذَا الْحَوْضُ مَوْجُودٌ الْآنِ. This hawd exists now. It's not something that Allah will create on the day of Qiyamah. لِأَنَّهُ ثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Because it is established from the Prophet, authentically, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said while he was addressing his companions, that وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ, surely, I swear by Allah, لَأَنْظُرُ إِلَى حَوْضِي الْآنِ, I am looking at my hawd now. I am looking at my pool now. The Prophet swore by Allah and said, I am looking at the pool now. So if someone comes, takzibur Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and says he does not believe this hadith, and the hadith is authentic. The hadith is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim from Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa inni wallahi la anzuru ila hawdi al-an. Now as I speak, I swear by Allah, I'm looking at my pool. The one who belies this and does not believe it, who says he does not believe it, or does not believe it in his mind, has nifaq in him. Nifaqul akbar. لِأَنَّهُ يُكَذِّبُ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Because he's denying the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that was the first thing regarding the hawd. He said, صلى الله عليه رحمه الله, I mean Sheikh Salim Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, that secondly, هَذَا الْحَوْضُ يَصْبُ فِيهِ مِيزَابَانِ مِنَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Two fountains, so to speak, two sources of water. Mizab, a plate where water makes zub, yazub, where water flows, close to saying fountain or a sprout. So two sprouts from Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar is another pool, so to speak, that Allah has granted the prophets, but that's in Al-Jannah. But this house is on the plane of resurrection. When the sun is brought to close to the head on the day of Qiyamah, people will sweat and get thirsty. So the house is from where the Muslims, may Allah count us amongst them, will quench the thirst on the day of Qiyamah. So the house is on the plane of resurrection, but the Kawthar is inside Al-Jannah. May Allah make us drink from it. So two fountains from Al-Kawthar will flow into the house on the day of Qiyamah. He said, وَهُوَ النَّهْرُ الْعَظِيمُ. He's talking about the Kawthar. That it's a huge, is a great river. الَّذِي أَعْطِيَهُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given in Al-Jannah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's in Al-Jannah. The third thing he mentioned, rahimahullah, is that the period that this house shall be taken, inshallah, will be before the Sirat is crossed. Before the bridge is crossed. Sirat means path. And ulama mentioned two things about it. Some say it's a bridge, some say it's a path. And they have narrations that prove the points. Some say it's a bridge, some say it's a path. It is possible to be a path upon a bridge. But Sirat ordinarily, lexically, means a path. So that it will be before crossing of that path. He has brought a hadith, but for time we'll just mention the points. The fourth matter he said is that the Muslims will go to this pool to drink from it. The first thing is that the pool exists now. The second thing he mentioned, rahimahullah, is that two fountains from Al-Jannah, from Al-Kawthar, will flow into the pool. The third thing is that the pool, the water from it will be drunk, will be taken, inshallah, before crossing of the Sirat. The first thing he mentioned about it is that the Muslims who follow, he says, the Muslims, al-muttaba'una li-shari'atihi, al-muttabi'una li-shari'atihi, those who follow the sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have to drink from it. Wa amma man istankafa wastakbara an ittiba'i shar'iyya. But the one who scoffed the sharia, istankafa, scoffed it, wastakbara, and is arrogant at the sharia, fa innahu yutrad minhu. He will be thrown away, he will not be allowed to drink from it. There is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is going to come, he is going to precede us at the pool. And when he gets there, some of the people who consider themselves Muslims too will run to the pool. And the angels will send them away. And the Prophet would say, Ha'ula Ummati, those people, they are my people. And they say, no, you didn't know what they started of innovations when you left. So some of the people will be prevented from it. So that is the first thing the Sheikh mentioned, rahmahullah, regarding it. Khamisan fi kayfiyati ma'uhu. Regarding how is the water like, he said, فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, is referring to Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, that he said, مَاُهُ أَشَدُّ بَيَاضًا مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. Its water is whiter than milk. He said, هَذَا فِي اللَّوْنِ. This is regarding its color. أَمَّا فِي الطَّعَمِ. But regarding its taste, فَقَالَ, he said, وَأَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ. And it is sweeter than what? The honey. وَفِي الرَّاحِئَةِ. And regarding its smell, أَطْيَبُ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. It's more fascinating than the smell of what? Al-Misk. This perfume. Nice perfumes. كَمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. As it is established in narrations from the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So this is 16 he mentioned about the pool. فِي آنِيَتِهِ. Regarding its drinking vessels. يقول المؤلف إمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله said آنيته عدد نجوم السماء. The number of the drinking vessels take the same number as the stars in the sky. And Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen said, Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Uthaymeen said, هذا كما ورد في بعض الفاظ الحديث. This is as it's reported in some of the wordings of that hadith. وفي بعضها, in some of it, آنيته كنجوم السماء. the drinking vessels, the cup, so to speak, of this pool, he said, Kanujumi sama. He said, they are like the stars in the heavens. There is a difference between the two. Their number is like the number of the stars in the heaven. It's different from that. They are like the stars. If he says Kanujumi sama, it means in number and in form. So he said, Rahimahullah, he said, Wahaza lafzu ashmalu. This wording is more all encompassing. لِأَنَّهُ يَكُونُ كَالنُّجُومِ فِي الْعَدَدِ وَفِي الْوَصْفِ. Because it is going to imply that it is like the stars in the heavens, fil adad, with regards to their number, وَفِي الْوَصْفِ, and with regards to their what? Their description. بِنُورِ, with regards to how, what light they emit, وَاللَّمْعَانِ, and how shiny and bright they are. So as shiny and as bright as the stars are, that is how those drinking vessels with which we will drink the pool, may Allah make us drink from it, that is how they will appear. Don't wonder how are they going to appear. Allah will enable us to be able to look at it no matter how bright it is. Because there is glamour and pleasure in looking at those things as glittering as they will be on the day of Qiyamah. It says, فَآنِيَتُهُ كَنُجُومُ السَّمَاءِ كَسْرَةً وَإِضَاءَةً. So they are like the nujum, the stars in the heavens, kafratan, with regards to how much they are, their multitudeness, and idoatan, and with respect to their brightness. Sabi, and the seventh thing about it is that asaru hadha al-hawd, what impact will the pool make for the one who drinks it? It says, man yashrabu minhu sharbatan, anyone who drinks any sip from it, la yazma'u ba'daha abadan, he will never go thirst forever. He will never go thirsty. We drink from it, thirst is over for him. He says, hatta ala sirati wa ba'dahu, so much that even when he's on the path, he's still feeling comfortable. He does not need to have to drink something. And even thereafter, he will never ever feel anything referred to as what? Thirst. And also from its attribute, the eighth thing the Sheikh mentioned is Tuluhu wa Altuhu Shahar. Its length and its width, take the length and the width, take the distance of a month's journey. And the ninth thing he mentioned, it was a question he was raising, Rahimahullah, that Halil Anbiyahi Al Akharina Ahwab. Halil Anbiyahi Al Akharina Ahwab. Other messengers, other prophets of Allah, do they also have pools? Fal jawab na'am. He said the response is to say yes. Fa innahu ja'a fi hadith rawahu Tirmidhi. Because it is reported in a hadith that Imam Tirmidhi has collected that wa in kana fihi maqal, even when this hadith has some weakness, but the hadith is authentic. Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani authenticated the hadith in silsilat al-sahiha. And he said wa jumlatul qawl أن الحديث بمجموع تركه حسن أو صحيح. الشيخ الألباني said that this hadith, considering all its chains of narrations, all its various chains with which it came, it is either حسن or صحيح. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن لكل نبي حوضا, that every prophet of Allah has a pool, but the pool of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the biggest and the best. This is what the rest part of the hadith said. If you go and check the hadith in its masdar, this hadith is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and others that the ulama have mentioned. So these are some of the things that the Sheikh, nine issues he raised regarding the hawd, so that we can have a view of what it is. So this hawd, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, wal imanu bil hawd. We must also believe in the pool. Wa anna li rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hawdan. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this hawd yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of qiyamah. Taridu alayhi ummatuhu, the ummah, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come to it to drink from it. Arduhu mislu tulihi, its length is like its width, masirat al-shahar, and it is the length of a month's journey. Aniyatuhu ka'adadi nujumi samai, its drinking vessels picked in the number, and we have from other hadith that they indicated that not only in number but in form, in terms of brightness and beauty, they are also like the stars of the heavens. Alama sahhat bihi al-akhbaru min ghairi wajhin. Based on what is authentic from the various narrations. Regarding this, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Izz al-Hanafi said, that al ahadithul waridatu fi zikri al hawdi, the narrations, the ahadith that has been reported that mention the pool of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tablugu hadd al tawatur, they are up to a hadith that can be referred to as what? Mutawatir. We know hadith mutawatir, a hadith that is reported by a large number of people in every of its level up to the collectors of the hadith, such that it is not possible to think that the people came together to agree on a lie, or that each of them lied and their lies coincided. We had always mentioned its definition severally and explained them. So he said that the ahadith are mutawatir. He said, rawaha as-sahab, rawaha as-sahabatu bid'un wa thalathuna sahabiyan. About 30 and thereabouts companions reported the hadith regarding the hawd, and that it is mutawatir. So this is these are the 2 points we try to explain today as much as we are able. We pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it is said. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there are questions that we will attempt, inshallah. وعليكم السلام. Seventh day of what? Well, very few, not so many, but can be counted in one hand, on the fingers on one hand. The first thing we do is says we slaughter for the child. So kullu mauludin murtahinun bi aqiqatihi yawm as-sabi'ihi. Every child is held in rohan. Rohan is you want to borrow a property, and then you want to borrow perhaps some money. You have a property, you give someone the property, and you take the money. So like a stake, something you stake. So every child that exists. That's why the riwayah in Musnad Imam Ahmad makes us understand that when you slaughter, you liberate the child, like liberating the child, the slaughtering. So the slaughtering is from the sunnah of the seventh day. So we slaughter for him. Tuzbahu lahu yawma sabi'ihi. It is going to be slaughtered for him on the seventh day. From the seventh day's sunan, is also to name the child. We name the child on the seventh day. So, and there are other sunan like we can do on the seventh day for the child, once we like it. If the person had not done the tahniq, he can do it, but it is not restricted to the seventh day. But what is restricted to the seventh day is naming him, removing his hair, and slaughtering for him. But even the removal of the hair, except if there are problems, else we should do it on the seventh day. The circumcision, ulama say the best is the seventh day, except also if there are problems. Perhaps the child is found to be not strong enough to be able to withstand circumcision on the seventh day for the male child, and things like this. For the female child too, the strongest opinion is that it is also obligatory upon them. That is the strongest opinion. But even if someone says no, he's going to take on the opinion that it is mustahab. Because most of the Muslims have abandoned this sunnah now. They abandon the sunnah for the females now because they say it is mustahab. What is the meaning of something that is mustahab? Something you encourage someone to do. Something you recommend people to do. Quite unfortunately, people even discourage people from doing it. Once it is rightly done, and the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was addressing the woman who was the one who circumcised children in Medina at the time, he said, ashimmi wala tanhaki. He said, just cut at the top of it. Wala tanhaki. Don't cut it deeply into her. So the Prophet described what to do, telling her how to do it. So there is how to do it that the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is from the 5 things in the fitrah, or from the 10 in the larger hadith of Anas bin Malik. So, but now we dropped it because people are campaigning against it. Even if it is, let's say it is mustahab, but the most authentic that it is obligatory. Because he told the one who accepted Islam, he said, Alki anka sha'ar al-kufri wakhtatin. Go and remove the hairs of kufr from you, wakhtatin, and then circumcise yourself. Get circumcised. So this command, wakhtatin, al-amru lil-wahid, al-amru lil-kull, illa lil-nas. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands one person in the ummah, like he commanded the one who prayed badly, irji' fasalli fa'innaka lam tusalli. He said, go back and pray because you have not prayed. He was commanding everyone who prayed like that person to go back and pray. And that's why many, that hadith of Musi'u Salatahu is a hadith that has the most description of Salah in one single narration. And that's why Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah built his works in Salatul Nabi on that hadith. Is the single hadith that's most all-encompassing in one single narration about Salah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that person to shave his hair, waqtatin, sigatul amr, and then circumcise, he's commanding both men and women. If someone else says no, he was not commanding the women, dalil tafriq. You must bring a dalil that makes us understand that no, that command does not include the men, the women. So anyone who does that has to bring the proof. Not proof of a statement of a person, but proof of a statement from Wahyu. Because it is Wahyu that is commanding. So no other than the Wahyu should make taqsis. No other than the Wahyu should make istisna, should exempt some people. So there should be a hadith. That's why I say that the most authentic, and this is the position of many of the scholars, like Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. So there are scholars who have this opinion. But let's even say, yes, someone says it is mustahab. What is the meaning of something that is mustahab? Is something that is mustahab something you discourage people from doing, or something you do and encourage people to do? And that's why Imam Abu Hanifa, despite the fact that he holds that it is mandub in the level of mustahab, he says when a group of people decide that they are not going to do it, they must be fought by the Muslim community. When the people say that our own in this village or town or city or country of ours, we are not going to circumcise females again, you should fight them. The Muslim Ummah should fight the people. So how about that? The same thing with Azan. When the people decide I will not call the Azan again, it's legal to fight them. In fact, the companions will listen to Azan to establish the presence of the Muslims in the place. So, but today, people have different dispositions to the circumcision of a female child because the non-Muslims are criticizing us for it. And if the Muslims think that by acceding to these criticisms, it is going to make them like Islam, we have just failed. Because the real aim is to get us out of Islam, like Allah said, in istata'u. Once they are able to do that, they will do it. لَوْ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ عَنْ دِينُكُمْ إِنْ إِسْتَطَعُوا. So they want to take you away from the deen in as much as they are able to do so. So let's not seek to please them with what with which we serve Allah. If it is mustahab, we do it mustahab. And the ulama mentioned that the women that are not circumcised, they like to have conjugal relations. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah was saying that the women of the Tatars and the Mongols were usually prostitutes. And what was known with them, with those women, was that they don't circumcise. They are females. So you see today people walk around, they do so many things, people don't wonder what are the reasons. So if the female child, like the male child, is also matured enough, is also strong enough to withstand the difficulty of circumcision on the seventh day, she should be circumcised also. Whether the person opines that it's obligatory, or the person who finds that it is a mustahab. Allah understand. So these are some of the things that comes to mind now. Allahu Alam. You do what you like to read. There is no established text from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say this is what you should do with it. There is no hadith like that that says this is what you should do with the ram. And people gave birth to children at the time of the Prophet. He also had children. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said they should slaughter. They slaughtered the ram. If it is part of an act of worship, that what we do with the ram is also established, then they would have told us, "La nukila ilena." It would have been reported to us. And don't forget, if there's any good in that, they would have done it. La sabakuna ilay. Walau sabakuna ilayhi la nukila ilena. They will do it before us. And if they did it before us, it will be reported to us. So there is no hadith that says this is what you should do with the ram. So it means it's to the discretion of the person. So if you say it is sunnah to gather the people to eat on that day, we ask you, what is the proof? Because if you say sunnah mustahab, istihbab is hukm min ahkam shari'iyya al-khamsa. Is one of the five rulings of sharia. Something is either obligatory or mustahab or mubah or makruh or what? Or haram in the sharia. We will not say that anything takes any of these status except that we have a text from sharia. So if you don't have a text, you can't say that it is mustahab for you to do so. So if you also say no, the sunnah is that I should not do anything, nobody should come. Just don't insist on anything as the sunnah. The issue is to your discretion. The issue is to the discretion of people. Do what you like with it. If you like, store everything in your house and eat it gradually until you finish eating it, that's your problem. If you like, you cook it and go and give to poor people you think they will need the food, that's your problem. If you like, you just what you like with it. There is no text that says this is what you have to do with it. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. There is no text that says to is the statements of ulama, not me. Adam's apple.
So I want to know, is there any text in Sunnah that confirms that? And secondly, I heard an answer from Abdullah. What led to this doing as a result of the apple said by Hawa and Adam?
The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas is authentic. That's authentic. It's verified by, I think, Sheikh Al-Albani and other scholars. The hadith of Ibn Abbas is authentic. And he mentioned about three or four things, that if it were not that some people did it, that thing would not have been happening. That if Bani Israel, who were commanded not to store al-manna wa salwa, did not store al-manna wa salwa, food will not get rotten. They were told, don't store it, al-manna. They stored it. And Allah got the food rotten. So from then, food started to become rotten. That hadith is authentic. It is part of it. The other one is the issue of menstruation. And one other thing I can't remember now. The first question. Yeah, there is no text on it. What Allah made us know, Allahu alam. What Allah told us about is that they ate it. He didn't say, because what they say about the Adam's apple is that Allah grabbed the neck of Adam alayhi salam. Allah understands. So there is no such narration that Allah grabbed the neck of Adam alayhi salam. Do we understand? Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam.
I call any program. You have a proof for that opinion? Okay.
But logically, I'm saying that the three gods created the heaven and earth. That is before the creation. Because earth itself is God of the creation of the earth that we have
days.
And God says, he created. That means prior to that, there was nothing like earth. And God created in 6 days.
Those things are usually interpreted as periods. But there are narrations that make someone not completely comfortable with saying that they are periods. Because he told us that on the day of Juma was the day he created, he was specific, Adam alayhi salam. So it meant the day that he's talking about is the day that we know. Do you understand? It is we who now who begin to say, insist on the day and night vis-a-vis the earth. Other than the earth, how do they count day and night outside the earth? Now I'm asking you. Well, these matters, they are from the matters that really, really require some tahqiq. Because after you, some tahqiq, I mean, some elaborate study and explanation. Because after you finish talking about, was he talking about the days of our days and the nights of our night or things like that, you are going to come to talk about the some what appears like a conflict. Is it 6 days or 7 days or 8 days as it appears in some countings? So, but as I am now, I will not be able to give you an adequate, elaborate explanations regarding that. But it's not something one needs to bother oneself about, such that it begins to be a source of doubt for the Muslims. Because what Iblis actually wants to do is bring doubts in the minds of the Muslims. Whether it is the day as we know it, day and night, or it is the day as in regards to periods, the fact is that he said he created it in days. He knows what he meant, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not know or understand it. You understand? So we should not bother ourselves about the details. But if time requires, perhaps if we read and get to places where these matters are discussed, inshallah, we'll do justice to them, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Postpone it anytime. You can slaughter anytime. That hadith of Aisha is not authentic, that after you can slaughter in 14th day and then 21 day. That's not authentic. You can slaughter anytime. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqqa an nafsihi ba'dama bu'isa bin nubuwa. After he was raised as a prophet, this hadith is Hassan, ala qawli sahih. That this, after he was raised as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he slaughtered for himself. So no one can say he was raised as a prophet at age 40 and he slaughtered for himself. When? Was it the 21st day? Was it the 35th day? Was it the 31st day? So he can slaughter anytime. It is from this hadith that the ulama draw that evidence. That if a child was not slaughtered for and he grows up, he likes to slaughter for himself, slaughter for yourself. If you want to slaughter for the child, you could not slaughter on the 7th day, slaughter anytime you have the means. Allahu Alam. And that hadith is the evidence, because the Prophet slaughtered it at the time he had the means to slaughter. Allahu Alam. Alaykum salam. Okay. Imam al-Tirmidhi, who started the combination of the word Hassan and Sahih, he didn't say Hassan or Sahih. So there is clear difference between Hassan and Sahih Hassan or Sahih. There is difference between Hassan and Sahih and Hassan or Sahih. The one of the meanings of Hassan and Sahih is that, like Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah explained in his book Nuzhatun Nazar, in his sharh of Nukhbatul Fikr, that there are two meanings the ulama have mentioned over time, not just what Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali had said in his sharh al-Ilal of Imam al-Tirmidhi. that there are two meanings to them. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned it, rahimahullah. The first meaning of saying Hassan and Sahih is that the hadith has some chains of transmission that are Hassan. It has other chains of transmissions that are Sahih. So to make us understand that it has many chains of transmission, he combined the word Hassan and Sahih. That's one. Secondly is also what Al-Imam al-Nawawi has mentioned in his Sharh of the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, that Hassan and Sahih could mean that there is a reporter in the chain of narration of the hadith. That reporter, the scholars are not able to clearly specify, is he a reporter of a hadith sahiha, or is he a reporter of a hadith hasana? Reporter of hadith sahiha refer to as thikr. A reporter of hadith hasana refer to as saduk. Which one is he? They are not able to conclude. So they carry the two attitudes, the two attributes to him. And as such, they will declare the hadith as both, that is having Hassan, Sahih. But what the Shaykh means here, rahimahullah, is that at least it is Hassan, if it is not Sahih. That's what he means. And we see that it is just close to the second definition of the word Hassan and Sahih, but it is not exactly it. Because if you take the second definition of Hassan and Sahih of Tirmidhi that we explained, it would mean that it was talking about one reporter who is either Hassan in his report or Sahih. But here he is saying that combining all the chains of narrations that has different reporters, he's not talking about one reporter. Do we understand? So it is in their end that they will be similar, because it still has to do with the hadith is either Sahih or Hassan. But it's not talking about judgment based on one reporter. It is talking about judgment based on so many reporters. So even when they are close in respect to the second definition of Hassan and Sahih, they are only close in what they result into. In how they got to that result, they are different. Do we understand? So what he means here, what he means is all. Of the statement. No. Sheikh Al-Albani did not take any istilah. He take istilah al-jumhur. He used the technical usages of the popular scholars, of the common popular usages. It was Al-Imam Tirmidhi who was known with Hassan al-Sahih or Hassan al-Garib or those istilahat. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, was not using those istilahat. As a person, he did not choose istilah for himself. He used the istilah that was common with the scholars of hadith generally, not just that which was specifically known with Imam Tirmidhi. Allahu a'lam. Alhamdulillah, subhanakallahumma alhamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.